degrees. Right now, sunshine, absolutely gorgeous, 65 at Talk Radio WBOB.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Joining me in the studio, of course, is Karen Morton, the chairman of the Duval County Republican Party, and the ever faithful and always in the same job, Jerry Holland, former... What do you actually do now?
I am the Duval County property appraiser. I come up with a value of 363,000 parcels so that, you know, those government entities can come up with their funding. We assess the value.
Okay. Well,
he's very busy going from one place to the next all year long.
I hate to bring up this name while he's on my show, but I hope for the sake of Andy Johnson, you've gone back and revalued all of those properties that he said were grossly undervalued. Oh, I remember, I mean, just year after year after year, Andy would get on this tear about saying that, oh, the millionaires, they don't get their homes appraised like everybody else. And I was thinking, you know what? If you feel bad about it, Andy, use some money from that Dinsmore Dairy. Buy a $1 million home and you won't get appraised. And there you go. So anyway, Jerry's in tonight to talk with us about the amendments, and Karen is as well. Let's start at the top. And if you're out there listening and something confuses you, you can give us a call, 222-TALK, 222-8255, and we can go back and forth and up and down. But Amendment 1, let me just read it, and then after I read it, maybe, Jerry, you can tell us what it means. Amendment 1, the title line is Increased Homestead Property Tax Exemption. The body of the amendment is, would increase the portion of a family's home's value that's exempted from non-school property taxes. The changes would apply to the value of a home between $100,000 and $125,000, with a maximum exemption climbing to $75,000. Now, that's confusing right off the bat. Does that mean that if you own a home between $100,000 and $125,000, that you are now exempted $75,000 of the value?
To get any portion of it, you have to hit the 100,000 threshold of assessed value. To get all of it, you have to hit 125,000 assessed value. What it means is at 125,000, you would get the first 25,000 exemption, which is all, both the school and municipal and state. The second 25, just give you a little history real quick. The first 25 actually was 5,000 in 1934. It was expanded to 25,000 in 1980. Which included school, state, and municipal. In 2008, the legislature put on the ballot also additional 25. That hits the you hit that at 50,000 to 75,000 to get the full amount. That does not include school, just like this one here on the ballot. And so this one starts at 100,000, goes to 125. Which means this is, first of all, a couple numbers you need to know.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's lay it out for someone.
Sure.
Hypothetically, John Doe owns a house that in Duval County, it's his primary home, and it's valued at $200,000. What does he get?
Well, for that, he would get all three exemptions. Again, when it says it's valued, there's a possibility his assessed value, if he's been there a long time, may not be $200,000. See, that's, again...
You see the smile on my face, Jerry?
Yeah, it's not the market value. It's the assessed value. And, of course, if you've been there a long time because of the Save Our Homes cap... that was put in 92, the Save Our Homes cap keeps your assessed value from going up more 3% or the CPI, whichever is lower.
What happens when your family builds your home in 1869?
Well, fortunately, the Save Our Homes cap wasn't there in 1869. Starts again in 1992. But that being, know some numbers here. One is we have 191,000 homestead exemptions in Duval County. only 90,000 hit the threshold of 100,000 assessed. Not everyone will get it. That's a little bit of, you know, Josh, I'm voting for this homestead exemption. They'll be calling me up saying, how come I didn't get it? Well, your assessed value is less than 100,000. So only 90,000 qualified today. You can go on our website at DuvalPA.com. That will actually, you can put your address in and tell you whether or not you qualify for any of it. So again, how much will you save? $297 a year if you qualify for all of it. And I always say, when one giveth, one must taketh. Where does that revenue come from? General service revenue from the city of Jacksonville. They will lose about $26 million if this passes in their budget. So again, you save $297. If your assessed value is over $125, you get all of it. And then the city, again, for that $297 times 90,000, it's about $26 million.
So let's look at it from the realistic standpoint. The city doesn't ever want to lose money. They're going to make up that $26 million somewhere. Can they make it up with a millage rate increase?
They can. Our millage right now is 11.4419, just the city millage, not the school district, because it doesn't affect them. They can go to a maximum of 20. Now, we've been in a climate for, gosh, almost 12 years of not raising our millage rate. I mean, that's great. I'm glad to see that. And we've also been in a rising market over the last 5 years, just gradually. Last year, though, was about a 7% rise in our market. City revenues went up about $46 million last year. Next year, it should go up about $48 million. So that means instead of getting $48 million with this passes, then the city will only get $20 million. Where it hurts is when the revenues, when the values start to drop. That's when you feel the pain. So
okay. So in all actuality, if you are a homeowner, an average homeowner in Jacksonville, Florida, Amendment 1, take it or leave it.
Really, what you got to decide first is, am I going to get any of it?
Right.
You may be voting for someone else to get an exemption. Do you get any? Is that too? This is one the legislature definitely wanted to say, hey, we're trying to hit a middle class, you know, taxpayer. Give them additional $297, and it raises a little bit higher at the beaches. Their tax is a little bit higher, but say $300. It's just your option. Will the city feel more pain? Will in doing so, they lose some services that may affect you? That's your balance. Do I want the tax, savings, or do I want to possibly risk losing some benefits down the road? That's your option.
All right, let's go to 2, and I'll read it once again. The title, Permanent Cap on Non-Homestead Parcel Assessment Increases. This is Amendment 2. The body of it indicates and reads, would limit increases to assessment rates to 10% per year, secures an existing cap on non-homestead property assessments.
Okay, now this is important to understand here. This sunsets. You know, I used to tell people would say, what does it mean to vote yes on an amendment or no on an amendment? I used to tell people, if you vote no, the world stays the way it is. If you vote yes, there's a change. This is the exception. If you're one of those, and I hear so many people say, I vote no on all the amendments because I don't want to see any changes. You will get a change if you vote no on this one, because we have currently a 10% cap on non-homesteaded property. That's the most the assessed value can go up in 1 year. That sunsets this year, December 31st. If this fails, about 50,000 taxable parcels will get an increase in their taxes next year.
Example?
Everything from apartments to McDonald's to businesses to strip malls to vacant lots to second homes to rental properties. All those are non-homesteaded properties. So any of those will go up. This building that we're in will go up.
And that means that the city will get an increase in revenue?
Exactly. Although 8,000 taxpayers and will see about a 25,000 bump in taxes, the city will gain revenues. If it fails, they will gain revenues of about $15 million per year.
When you said 8,000, is that the rough estimate of
50,000 will see an increase because their assessed value is lower than their market value. 8,000 will see a $25,000 or more increase.
Wow. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plenty. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Jerry Holland joining me in the studio along with Karen Morton. We're discussing the amendments. We've only gotten through 2. There's 9 more to go, so stick around. We'll be talking about those and following up at the end of the show, talking about the candidates themselves and the down ballot. You'll want to stick around. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. If you'd like to reach me on Facebook, you can, facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plenty. And for this and so much more information, we'll be giving you some websites out in just a little bit. Join us on the backside, won't you?
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Sean Robinson Realty has the ultimate real estate proposition for you. Own your own home. Sean Robinson Realty has likely sold or listed a property near you. If you close a home with Sean Robinson Realty, he'll give you a brand new big screen HD TV. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-77-SHAWN. Sean Robinson Realty is your one stop for all of your real estate needs. Residential sales, commercial leases, or property management. Locally owned and operated by people who know your community. If you're looking to buy or sell a home or commercial property, don't waste your time. Call Sean Robinson Realty. Imagine getting a free big screen HD TV upon closing. Sean Robinson Realty will do it. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-777-4296. 904-77-SEAN. Sean Robinson Realty.
Canterfield in Clay County is now open. This senior living community provides elegant retirement living at its best. Everything at Canterfield is first class, from their luxurious independent villas to their assisted living and memory care apartment homes. Canterfield of Clay County residents are sure to spend carefree, activity-filled days in a pristine environment. Canterfield of Clay County truly is a place you'll be happy to call home. To schedule a personal tour, call 203-6100. That's 203-6100. Tune in to AM 600 every Saturday morning for the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show, sponsored by Frontline Insurance. Find out where those fish are, what they're biting, and how to get them in the boat. Get the latest fishing info on tides, weather, and new products, and much more from the Sultan of the St. John's, Captain Vic Tyson. Start your weekend right. Tune in to the Captain Vic Tyson Still Just Fishing Show, Saturday mornings from 6 till 8, right here on AM 600 WBOB. Listen online or get the podcast at WBOB.com.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. A special edition tonight. We're talking about the amendments and the ballots, but I can't help myself. I got to get sidetracked from time to time. My special thanks go out to Sheriff Daryl Daniels. Clay, I kind of sound a little starstruck, but the folks here in the studio tonight will understand what a big change and a big difference that man's made in Clay County. I actually ran into a lady the other day. His name came up. We were talking, and the young lady's a resident of St. John's County, and she was actually angry at him because the crime that he's stopping in Clay County is going to St. John's County. She, you never usually find a citizen who's angry because a sheriff in another county is doing so much about crime that they're running the criminals. She says they're like coming over on field trips and they're doing crime in St. John's County, and then they're going back and living over in Daryl Daniels' county. It was kind of funny, but got the hookup on a wonderful hat that I'm getting used to. I've never sported the cowboy hat thing, but it's really good. But on top of that, great cause, Urban Bean at Roosevelt and Kingsley in Orange Park sells a blend of coffee called Sheriff's Blend, and the profit and the proceeds go to the
Does
Clay
it taste
County
like donuts?
Oh my gosh,
that's so bad.
Sorry,
Daryl's listening, by the way. And
hi, Daryl.
Yeah. That was Karen Morton.
Yes, Daryl, it was Karen Morton.
It was me.
Text me later, Daryl. I give you her personal address.
he can just ask.
The coffee, the Sheriff's Blend, is a really good, I had some this morning. I bought a pound.
We don't have any.
No, I'm not bringing it in here. It's good stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. It's comparable in price to what you'd get at Starbucks or any of the high end coffee.
What's this place called?
Urban Bean.
Urban Bean.
Corner of Kingsley and 17. Kingsley and Roosevelt.
Huh.
The big place there. It's like three times the size of a Starbucks, but you can go in and actually sit down and have a nice cup of coffee.
That sounds
and,
nice.
And I went in wearing the hat, and the guy didn't even ask me. He's just like, so you want the Sheriff's Blend, right? And I said, yeah. So, I mean, this hat gets you clout. I mean, you walk in, you know, I was driving down the road today. People were moving over out of my way. You know, cars changing lanes.
The power of the hat. There we go.
And then, of course, we've got a shout out to one of our other listeners out there, Steve Zona. Steve doesn't have a hat.
Oh, poor Steve.
Yeah, it is. I feel bad for Steve.
Yeah.
Steve's a good man.
Oh, you got to take up for him, right?
Hey, absolutely. Steve's my buddy.
So he's out there listening. Hopefully he's learning.
Need a hat, Steve.
We were on, you need a hat, Steve. We were on Amendment 2. I think we kind of covered that. It's mostly targets businesses and keeps that cap in place for their exemption.
It keeps Florida very business friendly. It's a good amendment from the standpoint of business taxes can go up, non-homesteaded 10, 20, 30% sometimes prior to this 10 years ago.
Okay. So that's kind of a yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm not telling you yes or no. I'm just giving you the facts. I can, but I want to give you the facts. Okay. You make up your mind.
Let's go to three.
Amendment number three.
Amendment three.
That's the one put on by the citizens. And again, you have to say which citizens. Well, the Seminole Tribe put $40 million into this effort, as well as Disney. And what it does basically is right now today.
Did you notice he didn't let me read? Steve called him on break and said,
Steve's going, you'll never, here's a Steve just text. You'll never get through it if you let Bill talk.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
Right, Steve?
The truth hurts, but you want to hear this.
I'm going to try to get through it. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. So Amendment 3, the way we've been able to expand gambling in the past is it has to be approved by the legislature. All right. And in fact, 2 years ago, they had on a ballot initial here local to put slot machines in the poker room. That was approved by voters in Duval County, but the Supreme Court said, no. That has to only be the legislature. So what the people in favor of Amendment 3, the Seminole Tribe, who's got their casinos, feels like this is a more difficult way to get gambling expanded, is to make it a statewide vote should you want to expand gambling within your county. So today, it's a vote. It takes the legislature, both the House and Senate, to approve. If this passes, it means that if Duval County wanted to expand its gambling, then it would have to have an initiative statewide, 60% vote to approve. So therefore, those who already have their casinos say, let's make the bar higher, and they think by putting it count at statewide for a vote would be more difficult.
All right. So in layman's terms, if this passes and Duval County wanted to add slot machines or something, it would still take an entire vote of the state at 60%. And what that does is kind of slam the door on anybody else but the Indian tribes being able to do gambling in Florida.
I'm sure that's what they're betting on. Let's put it that way. It's and you know, for someone who's against gambling, this is not an assurance that it would never happen. I mean, I've always said if someone's got $80 million to put into a campaign statewide and maybe do a consolidation of several counties that may want it, it's not impossible that it would pass statewide. So again, it's your option. If you're according to the supporters funding it, if you're for limiting gambling, you would vote yes on this. If you're for the option staying with the legislature, which means that your Duval delegation would have to approve it first and then get the support of the legislature, then you would stay the way it is currently with a no vote.
I am a gambler. I usually go to Atlantic City, or actually I prefer New Orleans because it's an easy flight. I've never been to any of the Indian casinos, not one. It was interesting. There's one in Quincy, Florida. And I didn't even know we had any Indian tribes out there, but there is one out there. Are they full table games with blackjack and roulette, and is it just a Las Vegas style casino?
The ones that we have on the reservation property in the state of Florida is the full casino,
okay.
Everything.
Okay.
Where today, as you know, only the ones that are allowed a license to the same people who have licenses for the dog tracks can only have poker variations of poker game. They can't even do blackjack. Only poker, no slot machines.
But if you own a Haji Mart or any kind of convenience store, you can have one of those casino games.
Which
they appear to keep popping up all the time.
All over the place. They're, you know, but way they do their payout in phone cards that they'll then you buy the phone cards and then they buy them back from you. A very interesting way of skirting the law.
That's sign language. You didn't understand that?
I did not.
Beverly understood it. I took the coffee pot, I pointed at it, and I shivered. That tells Beverly coffee is cold.
Coffee is cold.
All right, so let's go to
Amendment number four.
Amendment four, go.
Okay, amendment number
four. You're just doing this for Steve.
I am doing it for Steve. Steve's my buddy. All right, amendment number four was also put on by citizens. This one's very interesting, too. Obviously, if you look at the current way, there is currently a backlog of about 1.7 million felons that would be eligible if this passes for voting rights. No other rights, not gun rights, anything else, but for voting rights.
They're not restored automatically after 4 or 5 years?
No, and currently that's why there's a backlog. There's been a, and in fact they're in court over it now, an unequal, applying of who gets the their rights restored.
Did that start at a certain time?
I would say it probably started about 12 years ago.
Okay.
You know, somewhere around there.
Because my neighbor, I won't throw him under the bus, but my neighbor is a felon and he votes. But yeah. He waited 4 years, filled out a form, and they sent him a form and he was done.
Well, the way it is currently today.
And that was in the 80s.
There's a panel that may say, okay, for this person, I'm going to ask you 5 questions. And you may only answer one yes, and they say, you get yours back. Another person comes in, they ask him 20 questions. Just it's a yes on all of them, and they don't get that one back. So it's not an equal way of getting your rights restored. That's okay. The problem they have in courts. What this says is if you've done your time, you've done a restitution to your victims, if there's any financial part of that, you've done your parole, then all you do is make application. There's no other bar. There's nothing else you have to do. The controversy on this, some people say, well, you ought to see if you're, established and, back in the community doing good things and stuff like that. But this doesn't require anything else. But it does say if you've done a capital crime, a murder, or a sexual crime, this is not part that gets the rights restored. Now, obviously, from a fairness issue, it sounds a lot more fair, but, you may want some more restrictions. It's in court. It could be decided in court anyway. The key is here is it does have political implications. I mean, and it wouldn't matter if the political, and I'll say this from my party or anybody, if we were going to gain like the other party's going to gain, you would see the same production wanting to pass something. The reality is of 1.7 million eligible felons, about half of them will register, about 100,000 anticipated register, no party affiliation, less than 100,000 Republicans, 600,000 Democrats. So that's a net gain of about 400,000 Democrats, and if half of them voted, that'd be about 200,000 more voting in the next presidential election. And you got to remember the last presidential election was decided by 113,000 votes. So you can see why there's a big push by one political party. In fact, local Senator Audrey Gibson says, hey, vote yes on 4 and vote no on the rest of them, but please vote yes on 4. So it's political also. Yep. So you've got to make a decision.
Have any of the sheriffs taken a stand on this particular amendment that you know of?
No, I have not seen it.
Okay, I haven't seen it either.
Have you, Karen?
I have not seen it.
No, I know the sheriff's made a stand on a couple amendments.
I doubt that having your voting rights back would mean that you're going to go out and commit another crime, but...
They make the argument also, and the pro side is that if this passes, there'll be less people committing crimes that have committed. I don't think anyone who had their voting rights said, gee, I don't want to lose them, so I'm not going to commit a crime.
Exactly. Both ways. Exactly.
So... there's political consequences. That's what you have to decide too as you're voting.
All right, I hate to say that Steve is right, but it seems like every break we're getting through two of these. So we've got a few more
good.
To go. It is pretty good. That's pretty good for I'm Speaking.
Of course,
Plainly.
I had to take over, but that's okay.
Otherwise.
You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill. Hey, Jerry somebody is joining me in the studio tonight. I'm not exactly sure, but phone
I may not be here at the end of the program.
8255 and Karen Morton also jumping in from time to time. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. Join us on the backside, won't you? If you'd like to reach us on Facebook, you can. Facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly. We'll be right back.
AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump pushing back on criticism. He's focusing too much on immigration rhetoric during the closing days of the election season. Mr. Trump rallied Republicans in Montana this afternoon, touting the huge economic gains since his election. Tonight, the president makes a stop in Pensacola, Florida. Vice President Pence campaigned for Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker today. He'll join the president this evening. Meanwhile, Democrats fanned out across the country to help their party stoke turnout in their effort to capture seats in Congress and win several races for the governorships. Former Vice President Joe Biden was campaigning in Ohio yesterday. Former President Obama made appearances in Georgia. Members of the 4,000-strong caravan of Central American migrants winding their way in Mexico, lambasting Mexican officials for directing them northward through the Gulf Coast state of Veracruz, calling it the route of death. This is SRN News.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k, IRA, or investment account? Then I have one word of advice. Stop. Many experts warn of a stock market crash any day now. And if it's anything like the last two crashes, you could lose 50% or more of your hard-earned savings in the Wall Street casino. Can you afford to lose half of your retirement savings again? Hey, you don't have to lose a penny, because there's a better, safer way to save for retirement. And you can learn all about it in a free report. This is the report Wall Street and big banks desperately hope you never see. Why? Because this method continues to grow your money even when the market tumbles. It lets you take back control of your money and finances, and it gives you penalty-free access to your savings. Plus, it beats the pants off any 401k or IRA. These are uncertain times, so get the information you need today to guarantee your retirement security. To get this free report, go to bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. bankonyourself.com.
Holiday season is busy enough. Leave the cooking to the Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, just west of 295. Dine in, drive-thru, or use Uber Eats. The Original Cronus Gyros. Shrimp, fish, oysters, wings, and more. The Original Tunis Restaurant can cater any occasion. 317-9300. Talk with Z, the owner and founder. Ask Z how your church or civic group can use the Original Tunis Restaurant for your next fundraiser. The Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street. Open 7 days a week. Come meet Z, the founder.
Anytime is a great time to give flowers to the ones you love. At Kuhn Flowers, we know that all too well. That's why we offer the longest-lasting, most beautiful floral arrangements in Jacksonville. Kuhn Flowers has the perfect flower arrangements for birthdays, holidays, good days, and even bad days. Show that special someone just how much you care with a gift of flowers from Kuhn Flowers. Call us today at 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com.
The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
7:34, I'm Tom Murphy. Good evening. The West Beltway northbound planned road construction has the right lane shut down at the exit for I-95. Clear tonight, down to 58. Tomorrow, increasing clouds, upper 70s. Cloudy tomorrow night, showers possible, low 67. Monday, a 50% rain chance and a high 80. Right now, partly cloudy in Jacksonville, 64 at Talk Radio WBLB. And now back to Bill, what's his name?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly, or what used to be my show. I guess I've now turned it over to Jerry Holland.
And thanks, Bill, and I'll take it from here.
Did you hear the intro that Tom gave you?
No, he didn't. He wasn't listening.
No.
It was great.
Never mind. Yeah.
It was good, though. It was excellent. Do it again.
I'll listen to the tape.
All right. Well, thank you all, guys. Let's get to number five
okay,
now.
Okay, number five.
Okay, this one was put on by the legislature. It requires a two-thirds supermajority vote in order to raise state taxes and fees. Has nothing to do with ad valorem or local taxes, sales tax, driver's license, hunting license, any of those kind of fees. It would take a two-thirds vote to raise state taxes or fees. It will not require a two-thirds vote to lower taxes or fees, only to raise them. And that, as some people have said, depending on a change in who's governor, you may want this, you know, if you're one of those who don't want to see taxes raised. So yeah. This is put on by the legislature, requires 60% vote of the entire state to take to a bar of two-thirds supermajority to raise taxes or state taxes and fees.
All right. So the we should say that for the most part,
yeah,
it's a roll of the dice. If the Republicans remain in office and we are generally a red state, very conservative, it's an okay vote to have.
It's a fine vote to have because it applies to everybody. Even if the Republicans are in charge, if somebody gets some harebrained idea and wants to raise your taxes, that still takes that higher level vote. But if the Democrats get in power, they're going to have to push a little bit in order to get that past that threshold. And that's incredibly important to make sure that we have control over what our tax system is how it's set up here in Florida. Otherwise, we could be in a world of hurt down the road.
And I will say, the con vote or the no vote, people say, well, what happens if we have a natural disaster, need to raise taxes? That's so hypothetical. It's hard to say. And I would hope if we have that situation and it's that bad, we will do what it needs to do to take care of the people in the state of Florida.
Exactly. So. When you get that kind of disastrous type of situation, everybody's going to come and rally to the aid of the people of Florida, the people who need it. There's not going to be an issue there. But for daily stuff, for the harebrained nutcase ideas, for the socialist agenda,
extra arena and indoor practice field.
There's that too. But that, unfortunately, is not a state expenditure. Nonetheless, but, you know, no. I mean, you're talking about socialism peeking its head here in Florida. This is important.
Let's go to Amendment six.
This is
Marcy's law, right?
Yeah. Well, that's three parts of this. These are obviously put on by the Constitutional Revision Commission. It has three parts. The first part has to do with judges' rulings. Currently today, when a judge makes a ruling, they look at the statute. They also look at the administrative rules that have interpreted statute. Like my office is under Department of Revenue. They will interpret statutes and put out rules. They'll do public hearings to interpret the rules. What this says to judges, you must start de novo, anew with just the statute and not look at the rules. The concern here is judges would be interpreting statute more than they have done in the past, not looking at the administrative rules. So that is a change it makes. If you vote yes and this passes, judges will not be able to look at the administrative rules, only the statute. That's the first part of Amendment Number 6. The second part of Amendment Number 6 raises the retirement ages of judges from 70, this is judges, circuit, county, appellate, and justices in the Florida Supreme Court, raises their retirement age from 70 to 75. But it changes a little bit. And now today, when they hit 70, if they have less than half of their term, they can stay to the end of the term. What this says, the day you hit 70, whether it's your first day of office or last day of office, you're gone that day when you hit 75 if this passes. There's a concern there that more judges will be leaving in the middle of their term, not staying to the end. More judges will be appointed rather than elected, even though they have to come back up for re-election. There's a, you know, the power of incumbency. There's a concern to be more appointed judges. The third part is the Marcy's Law. It has to do with victims' rights. Obviously, we have accused rights, and currently today we have victims' rights. This is not establishing except for one victim's right. The rest are already law. Some are, but not in the Constitution, but they are law. The right that this establishes that is not currently law is it will allow the victim to determine the trial date. The victim can move up the trial date, and the state attorney may not be prepared. The victim may move back the trial date, and in that case, the accused may not have a right to a speedy trial, and that may be unconstitutional. All the public defenders in the state are against this, half of the state attorneys. Interesting enough, our state attorney is supporting it, but yet our number two person is against it. The sheriff came out in support of it, and I'm not here to interpret why he did that. But from a standpoint, if you're asking me, do I support victim rights? Absolutely. The question is should that additional right be added to our Florida Constitution?
Well, let me ask
That's
you.
That's a concern.
The age on the judges going from 70 to 75, when does a pension, the Florida State employees' pension, which they qualify for, when does that kick in?
Well, you can qualify for your state pension. You can pick it up at age 65, but you have to get completely out of the retirement system to do that. But you can actually pick up your pension, but you have to leave office to do that situation.
So it's not going to, by going from 70 to 75, it's not going to make
it's
a
not
judge
create,
have to wait longer to get his pension. He could still get it at the same time as long as he leaves office.
Yes, yes.
So what's the incentive for 70 to 75? Keeping the brain drain from occurring?
There is one. We have three justices that will expire from age-wise on the Florida Supreme Court. This would allow them to stay longer. They happen to be the more liberal judges. So that's a concern there. Was that part of the issue? Was it to give judges a longer time to stay? But again, if they would have just done it the same way and said, when you turn 75, serve until your term's over if it's less than half the term. But just the change in this does make it a little controversial.
I did get a note from a listener while you were reading this, and they were talking about the unfairness of having these judges being able to send in their letter of resignation and retire and then have the governor appoint who's going to fill that position. Apparently there's a local Jacksonville attorney mm-hmm. who is currently in court right now fighting whether or not he should be on the ballot as opposed to allowing Governor Scott to fill that position because someone is resigning December 30th or something,
right.
about 4 or 5 days before he would have normally timed out anyway.
And I think, as you mentioned, it is in court. Now, the Supreme Court did rule on the three justices that were retiring, you know, due to the age, where they leave office at the end of their term or the end of their time period. The governor could not appoint because he leaves office the same day, and he was trying to appoint those three before leaving. So those are going to be for the next governor. That was a big question on who you elect for governor is obviously going to have an impact to the Florida Supreme Court.
Another reason to elect Ron DeSantis if you want a conservative court.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to the
okay.
next one.
Amendment number 7 has three items in it. Also, the first part is for our military and first responders. It does two things for them. One is, should a first responder or military person die in the line of duty, this is not an accident at home or something of that nature, not in the line of duty, but if they died in the line of duty, their spouse and children would be provided a college tuition in a state college or university. And also a death benefit. And from my understanding, we may be able to get from some of the callers, some of them already have a death benefit. It would not change any current death benefit. It could add a death benefit that would be established by the...
There is already a $250 death benefit for military veterans.
$250,000. You said $250?
$250.
Dollars.
Just dollars, not thousand. I wouldn't be here if there wasn't. It's $250.
Okay. But what this does is allows the state, if it's a military person, for the legislature to set a death benefit amount. The amount for the death benefit is not established within this amendment. Same thing if it was a Jacksonville Sheriff's Office or firefighter, the Jacksonville City Council would establish that. Lanny Beach would establish theirs. That's the first part. The second part says that university trustees must have a two-thirds vote to raise college fees, not anything to do with tuition. But college fees, a two-thirds vote by the trustees. And the third part of this is for the currently today in our state constitution is the university system, but not the state college system. So this puts the state college system, codifies it in the state constitution so that nothing could have it go away. Because again, anything in the state constitution can only be removed by another amendment. So those are the three parts. The college tuition for the survivors of first responders, the death benefit, the trustees having a two-thirds supermajority vote, and the state college system within our state constitution is
so
amendment number 7.
So with amendment number 7, as I take it, it doesn't set an amount for an increase in the death benefit, only that there could be one.
Correct.
So that's always been a very bad sticking point for me that you can't even bury somebody on $250. It's an insulting, absolutely insulting number. But we can go into that on another show. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Jerry Holland joining me here in the studio along with Karen Morton. We're discussing the amendments. We made it through three that time, so we're getting some speed going. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 coming up when we get back. If you'd like to reach us on the phone, any questions or comments that you have, give us a call, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to step away for just a minute. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
Attention all men. Have Viagra and Cialis let you down? Think your best days are behind you? Think again. If you suffer from any type of ED, regardless of your age or medical history, the doctors at Alpha Medical Group can help you now. There's no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Just the newest available proven treatment from Europe using acoustic energy waves. Our FDA-cleared medical device regenerates blood vessels and erectile tissue with short in-office sessions, and it's all done with virtually no needles, no surgery, and no medication. Call now for full information. Call 904-763-1400. That's 904-763-1400. 100% natural, non-invasive way to fix erectile dysfunction. Call 904-763-1400 today and get your life back with Alpha Medical Group. Call 904-763-1400 or visit our website at alphamedicalgroup.com.
It's time to start planning your 2018 Christmas party, and the Salem Center is the perfect location. We have an auditorium that can be decorated beautifully, and we can host your get-together for as few as 20 people or as many as 400. Plus, the Salem Center has that wow factor you will want for your holiday party. A sit-down lunch or dinner? Yes, we can do that. A mix-and-mingle event? Yep, we can do that too. An auditorium-style Christmas program? Of course, we can do it all. And also, with a memorable style at a price point that is very reasonable. So give us a call now. We have space available, but we are filling up very quickly. The number, 861-0440. That's 861-0440. Ask for our hospitality directors, Angie or Beverly. Call now, 861-0440. Again, that's 861-0440. Ask for Angie or Beverly. 861-0440. That's 861-0440.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Going back to Amendment 7, there was some clarification that was made to me while we were off air. This is for active duty first responders and military members, and we don't know what the military service member survivor benefit is, but for first responders, it's about $250,000.
That's what's currently in place, regardless if this passes.
That's correct.
Yes.
And to be quite honest with you, it's a real shame that we have to have something like that for a first responder to lose their life in the line of duty. Let's go to Amendment 8, school board term limits and duties. Why are so many elected officials against school board term limits?
Well, the key is it's off the ballot. Don't even have to worry about it. Florida Supreme Court removed it, you know, so since we have so
okay,
many,
so okay. We'll jump on past that, but amendment, why would the Supreme Court feel it? Was it the wording?
The challenge to them, which there is three other amendments in a challenge also, they went directly to the three different items being there, not being consistent, those kind of issues, but they only fought for one amendment, which was Amendment 8, to get it off the ballot. So the Supreme Court ruled. They're also looking at three other amendments. even if they rule, so they'll still be on the ballot. But if they rule that the other three are unconstitutional, then they just won't be either tabulated or put into law.
All right. Well, Amendment 9, I got to add a sidebar to this real quick. I have gotten more comments, more private messages, more questions about this amendment. What does offshore oil and gas drilling have to do with vaping in a public place?
According to the CRC, both of them are environmental. That was their response.
That was it.
But let me tell you what it does. To prohibit offshore oil drilling means there would be no offshore oil or gas drilling from the high water level mark of the tide to 12 miles out or the start of the Gulf Stream, whichever is further. That's the limit in which it is. And then on the vaping is no indoor workplaces. They weren't talking about vaping on oil rigs. I just want to be clear with that. It was any indoor workplaces. This is an example of something in our Constitution that could be done by legislation. Mm-hmm. This is like pregnant pigs in cages.
Right.
This is not shouldn't be in our Constitution. The legislature can – we have smoking laws. They can easily do it. It doesn't require a constitutional amendment to do vaping laws. So that's Amendment number 9.
But if you vote no on this, then you also vote no on the prohibition of oil and gas drilling.
It's all or none. You're exactly right.
And you know, I'm one of the people that looks at the way Louisiana and some of the Gulf states, Texas, Mississippi, they seem to be doing okay with their oil drilling. Sure, every once in a while there's a break or a leak or something, but for the most part, they're up to speed, and obviously their beaches are still enjoyable to go to. What is Florida missing out on without offshore drilling?
I think the key is right now the political climate and the need to do offshore oil drilling around Florida and the economic value of doing it is not there.
Okay.
So I don't think we have a worry about someone putting one, you know, anytime soon around the state of Florida. The purpose of this is if you vote no against this, you're giving us the flexibility should there be a time in the future that we have a dependency and we can't get oil from somewhere, that we have that flexibility.
If this passed, it would take a constitutional revision in order, which would mean a referendum with thousands and thousands of votes or waiting 20 years for someone to come around and do that constitutional
That's
revision.
That's true.
Okay.
That's true.
Let's go to 10, state and local government structure.
All right. This is, CRC's got the most number of items in this one. It's got four items in it. The first part of this is pretty simple. Right now, an even number of years, the legislature has to vote every time in an even number of year, which is an election year, to move the start of the legislature from March to January. This just says all even number of years will start in January, odd number of years we start in March. No brainer there. The second part is to create a counterterrorism office under the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. So it's not like they don't work on counterterrorism today, but this, they would establish their own office, probably their own budgetary item for doing so, and it would be permanently there, counterterrorism. The third part of this is currently today within our state constitution says that a governor may have a state Veterans Affairs Department. This changes the may to shall have a state Veterans Affairs Department. And I think we always will, but if you're worried about it, this would change it to shall. And then the fourth part of this is currently today, your county positions such as tax collector, supervisor of elections, clerk of the courts, sheriff, and your favorite property appraiser can be either elected or appointed. Many people don't realize that, is that in some counties, those positions are appointed. And so what this says is those positions should always be elected. This is one of those, I always support the people voting for those positions. I believe it's a better way to get your government. And I think if one mayor decided all those positions, that would be too much power in one person's hand. But again, this would make sure currently today in Duval, all those are elected, but they would stay elected if you vote yes and Amendment 10 passes.
Sounds like a way to prevent Hazard County and Boss Hogg coming in and appointing all the people that he wants to surround himself with. And we're already seeing that in certain positions anyway. We're seeing folks appointed to committees and to task force and council. So,
to special authorities and all those kind of things.
Right.
You're right. All right, Amendment number 11. This one's a little history lesson. It's got three parts to it. The first part removes the high-speed rail system language out of the state constitution. Of course, we took in 2004 and took the fact out that we were going to do a public high-speed rail transportation system. And, of course, the legislature said you could approve it, but we got to fund it, and it's too expensive, so one was never built. Doesn't prevent a private entity if they want to build a high-speed rail transportation. It just takes the language out for a public entity. That's the first part. The second part of this goes back to 1885. It was put into our state constitution. It's referred to as the saving clause. What the saving clause does is this. When you're convicted of a crime and you're sentenced, you have to serve that sentence based on when you were convicted, what the laws were. So in other words, if there was a sentencing guideline of 20 years and you're 10 years into it, and the law changes to a sentencing guideline of 5 years, you still got to serve your 20. This repeals the saving clause. This could also affect probably marijuana from a standpoint. If the possession and sale of marijuana becomes legal, then those in prison today for that reason, then if this is repealed, then they would be under the current law and not what they were prosecuted under. So this repeals the saving clause. The third part of this takes out what is referred to as discriminatory language within our Constitution, which basically says in our Constitution today, it says that someone who is a non-U.S. citizen ineligible for citizenship, a state may regulate or prohibit them from owning property. The history lesson, this was put in 1926. The purpose of this was the Asian community was buying up land in California to grow citrus. They were concerned they were coming to Florida to buy the land and push out the citrus industry that was here. And so they couldn't say in our state constitution, Asians couldn't, you know, buy property. But in 1926, the only people who could become U.S. citizens had to be either white or black. So the non-U.S. citizens ineligible for citizenship was Asians. So they just said back in 1926, non-U.S. citizens ineligible for citizenship, the regulation of property could be done or prohibited. All right, so obviously that was discriminatory in 1926, or as we look at today's laws, because you can come from any country, any race, creed, or color to become a U.S. citizen. The question today is, are there any non-U.S. citizens that are ineligible for citizenship by federal laws? The answer is yes. If you're a non-U.S. citizen, commit a felony, you're ineligible for citizenship. If you're a non-U.S. citizen serving in the military and you go AWOL, absent without leave, you're ineligible for citizenship.
If you are dishonorably discharged.
You're ineligible for citizenship if you're a non-U.S. citizen serving in the military. So from that standpoint, if you leave it in there, you still would have a certain group of people that would be affected. So your choice is whether to take that language out, whether to repeal the saving clause, and then also to remove totally the language about a public high-speed rail transportation system. That's Amendment number 11. All right, Amendment number 12. Amendment number 12 has two parts. The first part is changing the number of years that a legislative person has to wait in order to go back and lobby the legislative group he left from. If I leave city council, it's 2 years before I can go back and lobby them, unless it's for a company I work for. Same thing with the legislature. This changes from 2 years to 6 years, but it also makes it more stricter. By that, what this can do is if a CPA is serving in the legislature, they would have to wait 6 years before they could lobby for their client to the IRS. So really, it may sound good to go from 2 to 6 years, but there's a lot more to it than 2 to 6 years. The second part of this says it restricts current public officers from using their office for personal gain. That is law. Can't do that today. You can talk to a certain congresswoman. She'll tell you it's not in the Constitution, but you can't do that today. So from a standpoint, this just puts it into the state constitution, but it's already law. Public officials cannot use the office for their personal gain or their family members. That's 12. The last one, real quick, is Amendment number 13, ends dog racing, but not the betting on dog racing. So again, the concern is here is one little sentence that's in here the NRA is concerned about, and that's the sentence, the humane treatment of animals is a fundamental value of the people of the state of Florida. They're concerned that value of the people of Florida could go to hunting, and they're concerned that that could cause some problem in the future. And I say if that's possible, then McDonald's will be selling tofu hamburgers.
There you go.
And that's your 13 amendments.
We're going to take some calls from folks when we get back. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Join us, won't you?